Chapter 1. True Blue. At precisely 11 a.m. in Lannemezan, a quiet village in southwest France, nine men in the dark blue jerseys of the U.S. Postal Team, part of a pack of more than 150 cyclists on 21 teams, rolled out of town to begin a painful six-hour journey over seven Pyrenean passes. It was Saturday, July 17, 2004. The temperature was already 78 degrees at the start of stage 13 of the 21-day Tour de France. The Tour de France's brutality is the legend. The race lasts for 23 days, including two rest days, and is divided into 17 road stages, including the flat stages favored by sprinters, mountain stages for climbers, and medium mountain stage, plus four time trials, individually timed races against the clock, beginning with the prologue, which opens the tour. This would be the cruelest day of all. The course ahead stretched 127 miles, winding through the forested Midi-Pyrenees region, where wooded foothills give way to alpine pastures, then to a flat prelude through shaded farmlands, and finally to a series of ever-rising peaks. The gradual Col d'Espin, the deceptive Col de la Trappe, and finally the infamous climb to the Plateau de Baye. Lance Armstrong began the day in second place, meaning that he was second in the so-called overall standings, computed by adding up the stage times thus far and subtracting any time bonuses that had been earned. He was 5 minutes and 24 seconds behind the melancholy Frenchman Thomas Verclaire. 5 minutes are substantial by the standards of any normal race, but in the Tour de France, they could easily disappear. Armstrong's main rival, the German Jan Ulrich, the man who had the best chance of emerging from the mountains on his tail, trailed him by just 3 minutes and 36 seconds. Armstrong's aim, and the mission of his U.S. Postal Service team, was to make the time gap between him and the rest of his pursuers insurmountably large. After they hit the countryside, the postal squad assumed its typical formation, eight riders forming a spear to pierce the wind, with Armstrong protected in the center. Every team in the Tour de France has a captain, the man who will finish first. While the captain pursues the yellow jersey, awarded to the rider with the lowest overall time, the rest of the team does cycling's grunt work, blocking the wind, putting pressure on rivals with clever tactical moves, even dropping back to the team car and picking up bottles of water for the leader. No team in cycling was more single-mindedly focused on its captain than the U.S. Postal Team, and no captain expected more loyalty and hard work from his support riders than Armstrong. Armstrong's teammates kept him securely in the sweet spot of the pack, right near the front, behind his Postal Service spear, where there's no wind and minimal risk of a crash. Armstrong pedaled in their slipstreams, using the momentum of the group, which enabled him to use 30 to 60% less energy than if he were riding alone. The pack, called a peloton, resembles a graceful amoeba, its perimeter changing shape as it floats down the road. Inside the amoeba, teams elbow each other, jab ribs, and collide wheels in constant combat for the best position. On the 25-mile journey to the base of the day's first climb, the U.S. Postal Squad shot to the front of the peloton, accelerating even on the flat roads where riders typically conserve their energy. Driving the pace on the flats, a technique pioneered by the Postal Team, neutralized other squads' tiny elf-like climbers, whose smaller size offered no advantage on these relatively flat stretches. The maneuver came at the direction of team director Johan Bruniel, a handsome, dark-haired Belgian who trailed the riders in a team car. Watching the broadcast of the race on a television installed on his dashboard, Bruniel carefully orchestrated every acceleration, attack, or chase. Once the race neared the mountains, Armstrong would rely on the grunts, his four most trusted postal teammates, Jose Azevedo, George Hincapie, Floyd Landis, and Jose Luis Rubiera. Just 40 miles into the stage, the peloton reached the first significant climb, a long, gentle ascent up the 11-mile,